thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This broadcast service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. We are truly thankful that you have our broadcast service tuned in. This is Alvin A. Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting that our broadcast will be a blessing to you today.
I found a
Heavenly Father, we're truly thankful for your goodness and your mercy and your grace. And we're thankful for the privilege of sharing this gospel broadcast with this precious people today. Though the congregation is unseen to us, we know that you have your eye upon each and every one. For your eye runs to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking to show yourself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward thee. So we pray thy blessings upon our congregation today. We pray for those who know thee not. They are wandering in sin, blinded by the powers of darkness. But we are glad for the gospel, and we pray that the Holy Spirit will be able to use this broadcast today to help to open eyes and to lead souls to Christ. There are those who are burdened down with cares, and we pray that you'll help them to know how to cast their burdens upon you. For you've told us to cast all of our care upon you, for you care for us. We pray that you'll encourage those that are fighting the good fight of faith, that they might be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, and be able to be an example for thee. So bless this broadcast and bless this precious congregation. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Thank the Lord for the wonderful words of life. And it is the wonderful words of life that we have to bring to you on today's broadcast. Our subject is the everlasting gospel for every nation. And I will read one verse of scripture from the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation, verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people. There is an idea being circulated in the religious world that these scriptures here in Revelation 14 are yet to be fulfilled out in the future. Some have even advanced the idea that there would be 144,000 Jews who would be going out over the world evangelizing the world. But this has no reference to some supposed millennial age which shall never come. But this is talking about our present day and time. And the word angel here is to be understood as messenger. It's not talking about some angelic being from heaven. The word angel is used in a number of passages of scriptures in the book of Revelation, especially to represent God's ministers. All seven of the letters that are recorded in the second and third chapter of the book of Revelation are addressed unto the angel, or in other words, the messengers. For he hath the right in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. Here the ministers are pictured as stars in the right hand of God. So you might ask, well, why are the ministers referred to as angels or stars? Well, first of all, again, the word angel means messenger. And of course, as far as stars are concerned, they are bodies in the heavens that give off light. And God's true ministers, God's true messengers, give off light. And we're talking today about the everlasting gospel that God's angels, that God's messengers have to preach to the entire world, not to a select few, but to the entire world. Now, you notice in our text, I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. God has never used angelic beings from heaven to preach the gospel. He has called men and women to preach the gospel. But now, what is the gospel? There are many supposed gospels in the world today. I say so many supposed gospels. Of course, there is only one true gospel. And Paul said, in regard to it, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth. God's gospel, the true gospel, has power. It has power to deliver. It has power to set free. It has power to keep. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the Galatian brethren, said, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, or a different gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert, or in other words, would change the gospel of Christ. So Paul faced people in his day who were preaching a changed gospel, or a supposed gospel. It was a perverted gospel, and it did not have the power that Paul spoke of in Romans 1 and 16. The true gospel has power to save, and it has power to keep. So I say there are many gospels, or so-called gospels, in the world today, but the gospel of God, found in the Holy Bible, is the gospel, and it is this gospel that Christ said the church should take to all the world. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Notice the singularity of that. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Mark chapter 16 and verse 15. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. Was that not the message that the heavenly angels did bring to the wise men, or to the shepherds rather, there on the hillside, when the Christ child was born? I bring you good tidings of great joy, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. So the gospel is the good news, and in the New Testament it denotes the good tidings of the kingdom of God and of salvation through Christ. Let me repeat that. This is a quote from Vine's Biblical Dictionary. In the New Testament, it denotes good tidings of the kingdom of God and of salvation through Christ to be received by faith on the basis of His expiatory death to pay the price, in other words, or to pay the penalty of, or to pay for our sins. His burial, and also His resurrection and ascension back to heaven. That's briefly the gospel. That's the good news that we find in the New Testament. And again, our text says that this gospel is to be preached to all those that dwell on the earth. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel, to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred and tongue and people. So God's church has the everlasting gospel, and they have the commission to go into all the world and preach this everlasting gospel to every creature. The gospel, I say, has power. Again, referring to the words of the Apostle Paul, as recorded in John or in Romans 1 and 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, there are many gospels, I say, but any gospel that does not have power to save from sin is not the gospel of Christ. Why are so many religious people today led to believe that once they become a Christian, they must continue to be a sinner, that they have to sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought? Why? Because they have not had the everlasting gospel preached to them. They've had another gospel. They have had a perverted gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not teach you that you have to sin more or less every day in word, deed, and thought. The gospel of Christ teaches you to awake to righteousness and sin not, that whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin, that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So the Apostle Paul wrote to the brethren in Rome, as recorded in Romans chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Let us also notice in this same chapter of Romans 6, what then, shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. This is twice in this one chapter where God forbids us to live in sin. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? What then? This is verse 15. What then shall we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, the gospel, which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Yes, while you are a sinner, you are a servant of sin. But whenever you become a child of God, whenever you obey the gospel, and you repent of and forsake your sins, then you become a servant of Jesus Christ, a servant of righteousness. Then, being made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So the gospel has power to deliver from sin, and it has power to keep you from sin. And I say again, any gospel that does not save from sin is not the gospel of Christ. Jesus preached the gospel. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Yes, the gospel of Jesus Christ includes healing for the body as well as healing for the soul. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. That's Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. Part of his message was repentance. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." So part of the gospel is repentance. Jesus taught us, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So part of the gospel is repentance. I'm not talking about going through a form of saying words day after day, "Lord, forgive me of my many sins." I'm talking about having godly sorrow that worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Now the gospel is to be obeyed. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20. Many perverted gospels, many supposed gospels today, allow people to go on and live most any way they want to live. Many religions have little or no standard at all. But the gospel of Jesus Christ has a standard for us to live by, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. One of the things that Jesus Christ commanded was, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Another part of the gospel that Jesus taught was, "The pure in heart shall see God." He also taught, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." So the gospel teaches us to observe all things whatsoever the Lord has commanded. The gospel is a gospel of peace. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Surely this sin-cursed world today needs the gospel of peace. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Paul said in Romans 5 and 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So the gospel is the gospel of peace. Paul preached and defended the gospel. Again, he said, "I am set for the defense of the gospel." Philippians 1 and 17. There have been many, many attacks against the gospel, many efforts to pervert it and change it. And in people's minds, it has been perverted and it has been changed. But in reality, you cannot change the gospel. After you twist it, misrepresent it in your mind, the gospel still remains the gospel. And it will be at the judgment bar of God, just like Jesus Christ taught it. "I marvel," Paul said, "that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the gospel of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, But there is some, better be some that trouble you and would pervert or change the gospel of Christ. But though we, notice this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's verse 8 of Galatians chapter 1. Paul was so confident, he was so sure that when he had gone to Galatia and preached the gospel, that he had preached to them the true gospel, he told them, if I come back and preach some other thing to you, don't you receive it. Don't accept it. Because I preached to you the gospel of Christ when I was with you. So he said, if any man come, preach any other gospel unto that which I have preached unto you, let him be accursed. The gospel teaches eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John 17:3. Again, that very familiar scripture, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. So the gospel offers eternal life to those who will accept it and believe it and obey it. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. If you are in sin today, then you are dead in trespasses and sins. But I have read here from John chapter 5, verses 24 and 25, that if you will hear, that means to obey, not only hear with your ears, but to obey the gospel, then you shall be made alive. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, and believeth on him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. So we have not only life in this present world in Christ, but we have the hope of eternal life in the world to come. Yes, we must depart this life. It is appointed unto man once to die. But in Christ, we have eternal life. Does this not sound inviting and desirable to you? Remember, Jesus tasted death for every man, and he died upon that cruel cross so that you could be saved, so that you could have eternal life. This is the everlasting gospel that Christ commissioned to be preached to the entire world, and all who will believe it and receive it shall have the benefit and the blessing of it. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'll bless these thoughts to our precious congregation today. May the Holy Spirit bear witness to the truth as it has gone forth. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's been a privilege to share another gospel broadcast with you, and we do trust that it has proven to be a blessing to you. If so, why not let us know? Our mailing address is The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. If you'd like to be on our mailing list for our monthly Way of Truth magazine, you may be simply by providing us with your name and address. There is no subscription price on the magazine. You may have it free of charge by providing us with your name and address. Also, if you have a prayer request that you'd like to share with us, we trust that you'll feel free to send it in. Again, our postal address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our fax number is 301-739-7173. 301-739-7173, our fax number. And our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. www.wayoftruth.org. And now, this is Alvin A. Craig. We thank you for listening to the Way of Truth broadcast today. And we'd like to invite you to tune in the station next week when again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast. Until then, may the blessings of heaven rest and abide upon each and every one of you is our sincere prayer.
For so long I had searched for lost meaning, enslaved by the world and its greed. But the door of my prison was opened by love. The ransom was paid, I was free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I from the dull, empty life I'm set free. For when I met Jesus, He made me complete. He forgave me and now I am free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. For I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free, praise the Lord.